Hello and welcome to another episode of Corgitown USA. I am Candy. In my lap is Chuckles, our spoke corg.
I am Catherine, and at my feet is Digby, and actually Mortimer.
Mortimer Barnabas.
Mortimer Barnabas.
Booger is in studio, as well as your honorary corgi, Indy.
Indy, yes.
And we have little Tito Bandito.
Little Tito Bandito.
He is the newest member of the corgi committee.
Yes.
If you're new here, hi, welcome. Every week we have new episodes about pet parent lifestyle, corgi centric, but really for all the pets and the doggos, health and wellness of your pet, grooming, training, all of the important things. And we've also done quite a bit on grief.
We have done quite a bit on grief.
Yeah. So we're actually going to interview our co-host today.
Hi, that's me.
This is Kat. And she's gracing us with her presence every week as we interview so many wonderful guests over these past five seasons. But Kat actually specializes in grief these days.
I do. So I am a grief recovery coach. I also do trauma stuff and negative emotion stuff. But let's talk about grief recovery. This is specifically for the humans, the pet parents. And I want to talk about disenfranchised grief.
And let's explain what that is.
Let's explain what that is.
So it's not normalized.
It's not normalized. When, and I'm going to take a step back. In some ways, some people disenfranchise someone else's grief. Always. It's a thing.
Like they invalidate it?
They invalidate.
Sometimes the grief gets invalidated by others.
Right. So
even if they're well-meaning.
Even if they're well-meaning. It always looks like they're well-meaning. They always, nobody's ever saying, oh yeah, well, you know, your grandfather died. He's old. It was time. Bye-bye. No, nobody's ever saying that. Let's be honest.
Say stuff like they're in a better place, or God has a plan, or
all the
platitudes.
The things you don't want to hear. So, especially with pets, and let's admit it, our pet passes away. It takes a piece of our heart. Mm-hmm. It takes so much out of us. And there are times when we grieve more deeply and more profoundly for a pet than for a human in our lives, in our family, whatever, just because of what our little fur baby meant to us.
Right. And we talked to Lap of Love about that last season.
We did talk to Lap of Love about that.
That is actually common, and that there's also guilt layered in with that because you feel like you're not supposed to.
Right. You have this thing where, well, it's just my dog. It's just my cat. It's just because society has put that limitation on us. So I want to talk a little bit about disenfranchised grief from the perspective of the person offering condolences and from the perspective of the person receiving condolences. So we've all encountered someone who has lost a pet, a parent, a spouse, a cousin, a friend, anything.
Loss is part of life.
Loss is part of life. And probably one of the best things, P.S., I do it too. I have to catch myself. We were taught to say they are in a better place. We are taught to say, okay, they're not suffering anymore. We are taught to say those things.
It's old school psychology.
School psychology. It makes sense. If someone is suffering and they're passed on, it makes sense that we say something like they're not suffering. Always take the lead of the person who is grieving. If they say they're in a better place, if they say, at least he's not suffering, she's not suffering anymore, agree, you know, yes. And how are you doing? So always turn it back to the person who is grieving. How are you doing? What can I do for you?
Well, and the same can be said about faith-based platitudes as well, because not everyone shares the same faith or has the same belief. And that's not always helpful. It sounds empty.
It's not always helpful. Here's the interesting thing. You could be the most faith based person. So you could have, you know, like it says in the Bible, the faith of a mustard seed that can move mountains. And when something happens, your faith is tested. When you suffer the loss of your fur baby, the loss of someone in your life, your faith is tested. Your faith is tested. And so hearing that, you know, this is God's will, you're like, you know what? Right now, God and I are not on speaking terms, or, you know, whatever it is that you're thinking or feeling inside. So go with the person, offer condolences, offer,
just be present,
a hug, be present, anything, a meal. Now, the same goes with your pet. And too often people won't acknowledge their grief or won't acknowledge that something that was said hurts, that it's not helping any. So I'm here to tell you, because you know me from the show, I am here to tell you to step into your power, as it were. This is your grief. P.S. Your partner, your spouse, other members of your family may not be grieving the way that you are. Everybody needs to respect each other's grief in this. Everybody needs to respect how each person is grieving. And just leave it at that. You're not grieving enough. You're grieving too much. No. Everyone grieves how everyone grieves. When I say step into your power, especially when you have an older fur baby, and it doesn't have to be fur, but I always say fur baby. You have an older fur baby. You have a fur baby that is sick, that you know the time is coming, that something is going to happen. Don't project your grief. Don't look into the future of how things are going to be.
Anticipatory grief.
Don't anticipate the grief and how much it's going to hurt. And
that is a lot easier to say than to do.
It is way easier to say
than
to
do. That was the worst part with Hammer for me.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's awful when he's gone and I miss him and there's, you know, I ache inside, but moving up to it as close as we got, the closer we got, it was unbearable for
a while. It is. And you, as best as you can, you don't want to have that anticipatory grief. You don't want to have that. What's going to happen when he's gone or she's gone? What's going to happen? What is my life going to be like? Try and breathe and just love on them. Just love on them, because now is the only moment that you have. And in this time, without having anticipatory grief, well, let's see, how am I going to feel? Am I going to feel like, you know, poop? Am I going to feel like this? Am I going to be angry?
It's going to suck.
It's going to suck.
It's just going to suck.
It's just going to suck. I'm going to suggest, before, during, after, coming up with three levels of answering someone. The first level is sweet and polite, yet to the point and direct. Thank you.
Direct, like hush, Digby.
Right, hush, Digby. So direct and loving. Thank you so much for your condolences. Even when they do the, you know, well, you can just go to the pound and get another pet. That's a big thing that we hear as pet parents. You know, well, you'll just go and get another
pet. I'm glad I haven't heard that. Oh.
I don't think that's our people.
And that's just as bad as if you lose a grandparent. Well, you want to go to the nursing home and get a new one?
Exactly.
Don't think it works like that.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that at all. You know, thank you for your opinion. Thank you very much for your opinion. That's not how I feel, and that's not helpful right now.
Yeah.
So it hurts you more to not say anything, because you think of things that you wanted to say and you bury it down, and the pain just gets even more intense, and it doesn't allow you the opportunity to grieve. It doesn't allow you the opportunity to be okay with it, with your grief and how you're grieving, because now you've got this, oh, maybe they're right. Maybe I'm dragging this out too long. Maybe I'm not doing this right.
Question yourself.
Maybe I'm being traumatic. Don't question yourself. Whatever it is that you need to do, you do. whatever it is you need to do, you do. The next thing is the next level. It's just a little bit more firm. You know, again, thank you so much. This really isn't helping me. This is not helping my situation. I appreciate your opinion, and it's your opinion. This is my journey. And of course, the third level is to just ask them to please not talk about it with you anymore. Please don't offer your opinion anymore. Please don't talk about it anymore. Let's change the subject. And you'll get the okay, but. Okay, but you know, please stop. This is not helping me in any way, shape, or form. And this is not helping our relationship right now. So
I think the big thing to support someone else grieving is just to be present.
Yes.
I think we talk about support in that it's someone that can sit with you in your pain, sit with you in the uncomfortable silences, sit with you as you sob, sit with you as you get angry, all the processes, right?
All the processes. And that's what it is. And some people can't deal with the silence and they just feel like they need to say something and you'll need to walk away. It's for your own sanity. You're not breaking a relationship. You're not saying, you know, I'm never going to talk to you again unless they're really, but you're not doing any of those things. You're protecting yourself. Self-care in the time of grief is probably the most important thing that you can do. Self-care in your time of grief, in your time of pain is so, you know, it's so important. You know, let's take me. We've done this show now for 5 seasons. We're in our 5th season. And for those of you who are with season 1, you will notice I am way thinner. Now, I'm working on getting back to that place in my life. But you may remember, and you can go back to, you know, season 1. Wow, she was a lot thinner. I've always been kind of this size, right around, right?
Well, misery is one way to lose weight.
Misery is a great way to lose weight.
We don't recommend it, though.
We don't, no. And so that was me not even realizing that I wasn't caring for myself after my husband passed away. I didn't even realize I wasn't eating. Like, my friends told me later on I wasn't eating.
I think you get so entrenched in your grief that your bodily functions turn that energy into trying to heal you from the grief. Yes. And weather the storm and survive. And some of your functions get shut off. You don't realize you're thirsty. You don't realize you're hungry. You don't realize that your blood sugar is low. You don't realize that you feel weak. You don't realize that you maybe have to go to the bathroom, these basic things. You're kind of paralyzed in your mental state.
All of these things.
Yeah.
So self-care is super important. Self-care in saying to someone, I really don't need to hear that. I really don't want to hear that. It's not helping me. And yes, you can even go so far as to say, what you're saying and what you're doing is making my sorrow and my grief worse. Self-care is all about you and you at the moment, not, you know, hey, listen, you're horrible. You're terrible. You're not making the other person feel bad. Never. We never want to do that. But it's about saying, I need to step away for a minute and step away.
Self-care, communicating your needs, right? And you may not know what your needs are, but if someone's throwing off your energy so much that it feels taxing to you, it's okay to respectfully excuse yourself.
Absolutely.
And say, thank you so much. I appreciate where your heart is, but I need to go be alone. Right?
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
The self-care. Yeah.
That's self-care. For those around you that may have suffered a loss, hey, maybe they aren't cooking. You know, maybe they aren't eating. Check in on them. That is probably the best, nicest, most empowering thing that you could do for somebody is to check in on them.
It can even be to tell them the funny story.
Yes.
Say, I would preface that with, are you in the mood for a funny story? Or would you rather not hear it?
Exactly.
You don't want to take them in the wrong mindset, but maybe it helps them to kind of feel a little normal for once, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Feeling that little bit of normal.
Out of all of my friends and loved ones that I've been blessed with, I don't think I've ever come to someone in the throes of their grief and depression and said, I just want to tell you this thing that happened. I've never been rejected on that.
Right.
They've always been like, oh, that's kind of funny. Or, oh, thanks for telling me that. How fun. You can see the light kind of show a little bit.
To come out of it for a split second will heal.
Things
your
are
brain.
Normal for a second.
Things
yeah.
are normal for a second. It will heal your brain. There are not five stages of grief. The five stages are actually the five stages of someone who has received a terminal diagnosis. So the five stages is the person who is, it goes through the person who is passing away. Now that doesn't mean that we don't, as the survivors, we don't feel something similar, but that five stages of grief.
It's different.
It's different. And it's not linear. So don't be checking off a list. It's not linear. It just comes and goes as it comes and goes.
Like any healing.
Like any healing. I think the best thing that you can do for yourself is to take care of yourself, is to look at how it is that you were taught to grieve. We were all taught to grieve. You know, we all had something happen in our lives, in our families, and we're all taught to grieve. Whether it is, you know, that we all just sit around and cry tremendously, or we all sit around and tell wonderful stories about, you know, the person who's passed or the pet who's passed. Everybody has a different
break things, drive fast.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Hey, getting a race car, it's very cathartic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Some of it, a lot of it is familial. A lot of it comes from our family, how we were taught, what we were taught. So we may have been taught by our parents that, you know, our little dog Spot just died. It's okay. Get over it. So now we're wrestling with, do I get over it or do I grieve this pet that was this fur baby that was my best friend, but you
I've
know,
been told how to handle this.
So self-care. Determine for yourself, how do I want to grieve? So look at how you were taught to grieve. Look at how the people around you grieve. Look at how society, your community grieves. Take a look at all those things and then say, what is it here that will heal me? And what is it here that's hurting me? And get rid of the stuff that's hurting you. Be vocal. Be absolute in what it is that you need and your needs. Be able to walk away and find someone else that you can talk to that will listen. Maybe other people who have lost fur babies as well. And remember, you could both have lost the same kind of pet on the exact same day under the exact same situation, two completely different things. So honor and respect each other and be there for each other. So that's a little bit, almost a different perspective on grief in that you want to stand up for yourself. This is your time now as the pet parent, as the, you know, as the human brother or sister of the pet, this is your time to say, hey, I don't need to hear this. Please, I don't need to hear it. It's not helping.
So tell us about your program.
So Dissolving Grief, that's my website. And
we'll put that website in the description box.
Thank you. And spell it with the two S's, because do you know that the first time that I got that URL, I forgot the second S?
Whoops.
D-I-S-S-O-L-V, blah, blah, blah.
There are two S's in Dissolve.
There's two S's in Dissolve.
I went to college.
Right. I used to win spelling bees. So I have an 8-week program that goes through grief. And I have two different programs. I have one for someone who's lost their spouse or significant other. And I have one for families who've lost lost a beloved pet. The programs are similar in their layout. And of course, they're very different. And it goes through, what does grief mean to you? How do you process grief?
Crack it open.
The way you processed grief in the past, did that work for you? Do you need to look up new things? Friends, everybody has an opinion. So you're going to find who are the people that are supporting you and how do you hang on to those people? How do you turn to those people? And who are the people who are not supporting you? And do you walk away from those relationships? Because sometimes the non-support can be really bad. Do you walk away from those relationships? Do you just walk away for now? There's so many different things. You and your self-care, how are you doing with your self-care? What things do you want to say? So my late husband's mom, my mother-in-law is her cat just recently passed away, and her cat is her everything. Her son passed away. Her husband passed away. She lives alone. Her cat, Boo, is everything. And so completely unexpectedly, Boo passed away. And so I suggested to her to write a love letter telling Boo all of the things that mom loved about Boo and thanking Boo for being there for her and for being her little friend and being her little baby. And so she did that. That helps.
Very healing for her.
It's very healing. It's very cathartic. So that's what my program is about. It happens if you go onto the website. I do it a couple of times a year because it's 8 weeks. We do it a few times a year. So go on the website, see when the next one coming up is. And if it's something that's still hurting, by all means, give me a call, see if it's for you, or just give me a call and we can talk through it. And that's pretty much it.
And there might be fewer Borks.
There hopefully will be fewer Borks, although Digby is in my office for every.
But we won't have all six in
studio.
No, we
won't have all six. So there you have it.
Well, we will drop those links in the description box. So if you want to get closer to our dear cat here, she is wonderful with grief. And of course, sat right by my side throughout the process of when I had to say goodbye to Hammer, yes. In which I am still very deep in that grief. So thank you so much. We are here for you every week. Not all episodes are this heavy.
Yes.
But we look forward to you joining us. Please like and subscribe. It's not always this loud, but sometimes it is. We'll see you next week.
Thanks. Bye.